Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Do not drink bleach. Do not do bath salts. And don't hit a woman in the head with a hatchet. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. These are all some very tough lessons we're going to learn on Florida Stories.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Pat's Lounge makes Christmas parade history. Later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night. This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Vila Hula. Shop with a cop event gone awry. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And Becky Gaffney.
Our fuel oil bill was over $800. Grocery prices are through the roof. And there's glitter inside my underpants.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
We'll explain coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to share the story of a chance encounter with Jack Nicholson and Art Garfunkel in a Manhattan elevator. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
I love my character. I love my character so much. She is a real person, and she's nice, you know, and it's nice to play someone nice. Because often women, you know, you have... It's nice to play someone who's just straight down the line, a good girl, you know? I did actually grow up in L.A. for a lot of my tween years, I guess. Is that pre-teen? For a few of those years, I was living there, so... No one would have me speaking in English at school. And at that age, you just adapt. Because things like water and banana, water and banana, I mean, it's totally different.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
It's nice to be on CNN. Hello to all your viewers. I resent you calling me a denier. That is a word meant to put me down. I'm a skeptic about climate change. And I want to make it darn clear, Mr. Kenney's not a scientist. I am. He's the CEO of the Weather Channel now. I was the founder of the Weather Channel, not the co-founder.
And I'm glad you did, because I am addicted to the Weather Channel. I watch a lot of cable news.
Now, hold on just a minute. I'm not done. And CNN has taken a very strong position on global warming that it is a consensus. Well, there is no consensus in science. Science isn't a vote. Science is about facts. And if you get down to the hard, cold facts, there's no question about it. Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future. There's a whole lot of baloney. And yes, it has become a big political point of the Democratic Party and part of their platform. And I regret it's become political instead of scientific. But the science is on my side.
I don't think we're going to come to a conclusion about the topic right here. What I do wonder,
well, I know
though,
we're
is when
not,
you
because
see...
Because you wouldn't allow it to happen on CNN, but I'm happy
well,
that I got on the air and got a chance to talk to your viewers. Hello, everybody.
There is no
global warming.
What I do wonder is when you see the government, when you see NASA, when you see other institutions...
The great John Coleman explaining things.
Up to a Hardee's drive-thru. We pull around the back and we're just about going through. We pull through the drive-thru. They take the order. We pull up and she says, pull ahead, you know, because they had to make the order if the order wasn't done. We pull ahead and a car comes perpendicular and parks like a little ways in front of us. And I've been around the block and I said to my buddy, I said, that's either a bad guy or it's FBI. I said that straight up.
Straight up, he said it. Now, when you call Sterling on Sunday tonight, you'll have a chance to win a prize announcement if you can identify this voice.
We're so stupid.
Oh, my God.
Quick bait. I don't understand why you need to be in New York.
Can you identify that voice? It's a very famous woman who I know that you feel emotionally insecure about. Whenever you see her, you're like, she would never talk to me. And let me assure you, Midnight Misfit, let me assure you, she would never talk to you. One of those women who seems friendly and outgoing, and an 11, not a 10, an 11, no, she wouldn't talk to you. There's no way in heck.
Hello.
That is my least favorite singer. That's Adele. You know who Adele reminds me of? Have you ever been forced to go to an Italian restaurant, a red sauce Italian restaurant with the vinyl tops? And you're halfway through the appetizer, and all of a sudden in the corner, there's a rustling. You hear movement, and then more people in the corner. And oh my gosh, it's a band. A band is going to walk through the Italian restaurant with an accordion player. And a singer who's seen better days. And she starts singing, and she sounds like this.
Hello.
That's who she sounds like. That's who Adele reminds me of. I don't want to hear any more about Adele. I don't think she's a great singer. Her personality is very arrogant. She won't, you know, talk to any real hosts. I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, at 10:35 tonight, you and I are going to have team coverage of what's going on in the North Pole. The North Pole, that's right, because in the North Pole right now, there's an Uber driver. And this Uber driver in the North Pole, who delivers food and goodies to people working in the North Pole, this poor guy, he put lights on his Uber car. He put lights on his Uber car, and he's been cited for it over and over and over again. In the North Pole, you would think he was doing something criminal, but no, he just put Christmas lights around his car. And he's been given ticket after ticket. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Is this exciting for you to have a live radio show that doesn't scream at the Democrats? That's what I thought. You and I are going to talk about many adventures tonight because that's what I do. We're driving up the 101, the I-4 in Florida, Route 80, across the east to west coast. This is what we do. If you're driving an 18-wheeler, I salute you. When you drive an 18-wheeler, you are king of the road. You are the king. You stop in one of those love rust stops, and you look at the displays of CB radios. Why do they sell CB radios at the love truck stops? Why wouldn't you just sell them at Best Buy? Has anybody gone into a truck stop and bought a $700 radio? No, you go in and you buy peanut butter and jelly crackers. You go in and take a shower. Maybe you have a bad cheeseburger. That's what you do at a truck stop. But I have never seen anybody call the cashier over and say, would you open this cabinet for me? I've got to see the CB radios. Oh my gosh, it's 15 past the hour. And then I can't wait to share with you the astonishing news committed by ex-Governor Chris Christie's niece, because she behaved in a Jersey way to the 10th degree, the nth degree. Chris Christie's niece, she acted out just right to her genetic code. I mean, like, right to her genetic code. All right, are you excited to be here? I hope so. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Alana Haim.
Now when I talk to God, I know he understands. He said, sit by me and I'll be your guide. Don't ask me what I think of you. I'm not doing anything that you want me to.
What do you want to do? You want to do Motown Monday? I mean, I've got a lot of very serious and important things to talk about. I think we could spend 2 minutes on Motown Monday.
Baby, baby.
care. That's Dee Dee Sharp on a Motown Monday. That's what you do. You can play music sometimes. You can scream at the Democrats at other times. You can play very long commercials at other times. The great thing about spoken word radio is it's the last free-form radio there is.
Now, folks, I've been doing this work.
What was that? Oh, I see. That was stupid. That was my mistake. Like, all of a sudden, there's this guy talking. Well, that's because I was pulling it off of the computer. All right, let's see. What have I got for you? This is my favorite story of the month. Now, to understand this, you got to understand Chris Christie. This is what Chris Christie sounds like when nobody is monitoring him. The former governor of New Jersey, who, in my opinion, should have run for president and won, but instead Donald Trump, who is from the same food group, the same kind of guy, ran and he won. But this is Governor Christie sharing his feelings with a member of the press.
And let me tell you something. After you graduate from law school, you conduct yourself like that in a courtroom, your rear end's going to get thrown in jail, idiot.
That's the diplomatic Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey. Of course he's from New Jersey. The reason he was so successful in New Jersey is he spoke like that all the time.
And let me tell you something. After you graduate from law school, you conduct yourself like that in a courtroom, your rear end's going to get thrown in jail, idiot.
He conducted himself like that all the time. And what did he do? He was a conduit to the anger of the people who lived in New Jersey. And the people who live in New Jersey are furious all the time. I grew up there. I know. It starts with the tolls. No state has more massive commitment, heartfelt commitment to tolls than New Jersey. You think, well, you know, it's Saturday morning. Why don't we drive down to the shore? Why don't we drive down to the shore? 14 hours later, you've gone past the last toll to exit 63, and you're at Long Beach Island. You have suffered for 2.5 days to get to Long Beach Island. And when you get there, it's like, well, you know, it used to be better.
And let me tell you something. After you graduate from law school, you conduct yourself like that in a courtroom, your rear end's going to get thrown in jail, idiot.
It goes unnoticed. If you live in New Jersey, the way Chris Christie speaks, it goes unnoticed. That's how everybody speaks. One of the hardest things that I had to learn when I left New Jersey, when I went forth and went to, like, San Francisco, one of the hardest things I learned was that not everybody says what they mean. Now, if you grew up in New Jersey, you say what you mean. If I like you, you know it. If I don't like you, you know it. Very simple math, very simple social math. I was shocked the first time I had a business lunch in San Francisco, and we're sitting around some place that had one of those Tiffany-style chandeliers and a big wooden table, and everybody's ordering porridge. And I thought I had a great lunch. I thought we all had gotten along well, everything was fine. I didn't think there was any problems. Like 6 weeks later, I find out from my boss, who had sent me to San Francisco, that they didn't really like me. What do you mean they didn't like me? I sat with them for lunch for 2.5 hours, listened to their stupid stories, had cream caramel. It was the first time, this is true, it's the first time I ever had creme caramel. Never had had creme caramel before the lunch in San Francisco. Because they didn't tell me how they felt. They just were very pleasant. Okay. You go to eat in New Jersey, business or social, there are no vague pleasantries. If they like you, you know it. If they don't like you, you know it.
And let me tell you something. After you graduate from law school, you conduct yourself like that in a courtroom, your rear end's going to get thrown in jail, idiot.
And that's why in the state of New Jersey, he was a beloved governor. And why the people of New Jersey felt, yeah, why couldn't he be president? We trust him, we know him. I never, to this day, I never trust anybody who's always pleasant, because I believe lurking beneath that is a volcano of hatred. If you're sitting there and you're with me and you're just pleasant through the meal, you're sitting there pleasant through, like my in-laws, they're always pleasant, which is why they're always drunk. They have to mask all of those feelings from bubbling up. Therefore, they act pleasant all the time. But it's a lie. All, you know, I would say it's all a lie 50 miles west of New Jersey and 2 miles east of Los Angeles. In the middle there, everybody thinks, well, you know, you're very polite. You know, we keep our feelings to ourselves. Why? Isn't that exhausting to keep your feelings to yourself? And that's why, by the way, that's why most cities in the middle of the country do not progress. They don't have any spectacular architecture. They don't have anything new or fascinating because they're so busy suppressing their feelings. They're so busy trying to be pleasant to the rest of the world. Their forms of expression are squashed and killed. You go an hour, no, not an hour. You go 1 minute west of Philadelphia, forget it. Everybody's just pleasant. How do you know what the deal is? How do you know who's telling you the truth if everybody's always pleasant all the time? Is that why they all go to church all the time and pray? Is they pray for emotion? They're trying to pray for emotion? I think that's what it must be. Put some money in the donation box, light a candle, and pray for emotion. Meanwhile, here, we have no problems with emotion. You want emotion? No sweat.
And let me tell you something. After you graduate from law school, you conduct yourself like that in a courtroom, your rear end's going to get thrown in jail, idiot.
Love him. Now, coming up, you and I are going to hear a real serious situation. We're going to hear team coverage from the North Pole. Yeah, I'll get to Chris Christie's niece in a few minutes, but we have this scheduled, and therefore we're going to do it because we promoted it. There's an Uber driver in the North Pole who put Christmas lights on his car. Very nice, very thoughtful. North Pole, Alaska, which is actually a town. It's an actual town in Alaska, North Pole, Alaska. Therefore, they've been able to build this whole Santa industry in North Pole, Alaska, being enterprising Americans. Well, guess what? He keeps getting tickets and citations for having these lights on his car, on his Uber. And all he's trying to do is have the Christmas spirit. So he puts lights on his car. And everybody's supposed to love that, but they don't love it. And he keeps getting tickets. Can you imagine that? No, I can't. I just can't. All right, that's what I've got for you. Plus, we have lesbians in space. We have Florida stories and all of the things that you love. That's coming up in just seconds. My name's Walter Sterling. Hi. We are live on a Sunday night. It's great to be with you at 888-688-WALT is my phone number. Oh, it's still Motown Monday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Long John Neville.
It contains a circus act by the name of the Flying Fools.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our first Florida story, we're going to Brevard County, where they had a change in school policies that led to a bunch of teachers getting attacked, getting punched, having stuff thrown at them, having desks flipped over. And the sheriff of Brevard County, Wayne Ivey, but a lot of people don't like the way he expressed himself. Is this too much?
They're not worried about getting in trouble. They know nothing's going to happen to them. They know they're not going to be given after-school detention. They're not going to be suspended. They're not going to be expelled. Or like in the old day, they're not going to have the cheeks of their ass torn off for not doing right in class.
I think his heart's in the right place, but there's a lot of sensitive people out there. You should know better than talking about ripping the ass cheeks off of kids. But this is a teachable moment. Parents, in case you didn't know, the sheriff was using what's called hyperbole, a rhetorical tool using exaggeration to make a point. Because literally zero people on planet Earth think Brevard County Sheriff Wayne Ivey literally wants to tear the ass cheeks off of children. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, this one is just god-awful. It's tragic. There's a woman and her husband in their 40s. And they take in one of their grown son's friends who's having trouble getting it together. He got kicked out of his house. He can't keep a job. He's been evicted. He's homeless. So instead of letting him be homeless, they were letting him stay in the extra bedroom until he could get on his feet. He had some sort of episode while the husband was gone.
Pinellas County detectives say Doherty attacked Eaton inside her home Tuesday morning with a hatchet, leaving it protruding from her head.
You're not sure how you're going to die, But you can go ahead and rest assured that there's about a 0% chance that you are going to die with an axe protruding out of your head. Because you don't live in Viking times, you don't get in fights with people with hatchets, and you don't live in Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's niece is accused of biting, injuring cops during violent plane meltdown. She hurt sheriffs. She bit them. Details coming up with team coverage in seconds. It's 39 past the hour. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. We have a report from the North Pole. It's not the North Pole you expect. It's not the sort of report that says, oh, Santa's making gingerbread houses and Santa's getting everything ready in his sleigh. No, it's from our friend Keith, who's an Uber driver who listens on KFAR in Fairbanks, Alaska. Yes, we have affiliates in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm sorry if those other shows do not, but I don't give a damn. Keith in Fairbanks, Alaska. Hello, listening on KFAR. Keith, I want you to start from the beginning and tell us your story.
All right. So I am a full-time DoorDasher. I've been doing it full-time for about 2 years now. The last 6 years, I've been doing deliveries for different companies in North Pole. And every year, I put your generic type of Christmas lights that you buy from your average Walmart. I put a strand on top of my vehicle. I've done it with five different vehicles. This year, all of a sudden, the cops have an issue with it. They gave me 6 tickets within 2 weeks. I made the front page twice now. We had a little parade, silent parade protest of lights. And since then, the cops have backed off, stopped giving anybody tickets for their lights, and stopped pulling people over. But then I get notice that the North Pole Police Department is going to go forward and take me to court on December 29th for violating their code, which is unauthorized use of color lights. So then that leads us now to there's a group of supporters going to court with me, hopefully to convince the judge that this is in the spirit of Christmas. I'm not trying to impersonate any emergency vehicles like the police stated. And so we also came up with a campaign where we're trying to get people from all across the country to send in Christmas cards or Christmas letters, anything Christmas style. And we're going to take bags of this mail to the judge. And then after that, we're going to take it to our local city council and hope that they change the statute or give us an exception in North Pole during the holidays so we can do this without being harassed.
Keith.
Now, if any of your listeners, yep.
No, we'll get to that. I need the story first before we get anyone to send cards. First, we need the story. Keith, who listens on KFAR in Fairbanks, Alaska, listens to Sterling on Sunday, loves the show, I'm told, and has called us with this fascinating story that we first heard a month ago. And then when the Gaffneys were on, he shared it with them. They were fascinated by the story. What exactly, Keith, what exactly do the citations say?
Well, the citation states a long number. Let's see here. It basically states, I'm looking, grab it. Statute code 13AAC04.145, use of lights and colors not authorized.
Does it specify which colors are not authorized?
It doesn't. I even had a conversation with the chief of police here, and he tried to give me a big spiel about what the statute says, and says that I can only have yellow or orange. I can't have pink, purple, green, you know, colors that aren't emergency colors. I can't even have those.
But yellow.
Basically saying that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
But yellow is the official color light of a funeral director. That's what goes on the hearse.
That, and DOT uses yellow a lot, and yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's my next question, Keith, who's in Fairbanks, Alaska, listening on KFAR. Here's my next question. How much are those citations? How much? I don't want to hear myself. Turn that off.
Each one of them is $50, and then they add a $20 surcharge, so $70 times six comes out to $420.
So far, your Christmas bill is $420, and you've done this in previous years. Is that right, Keith?
Oh, yeah. I have Facebook memories going back 6 years of five different vehicles I've done this with.
Well,
and I'm not the only one. Every year, there's multiple people that do it. Our local fire department decks out one of their fire trucks and goes around town blaring Christmas music. So this isn't like the first year that somebody's attempted to do this.
All right. Coming up in seconds, I'm going to ask you where we send the Christmas cards, and I'm going to see if any Midnight Misfit has any advice for you. Here's my phone number. It's 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Once more, 888-688-WALT. Now listen, Keith, now that you're here, can you identify this mystery voice?
We're so stupid.
Oh, my God.
Clickbait. I don't understand why you need to be in New York.
Wait. Before we do anything else, why am I hearing myself? Do you have the radio on?
No, sir.
Why am I hearing myself? I hear some strange 10 seconds later thing. You sure you don't have the radio on?
No, sir.
Because that is
way off.
That is the ultimate talk radio crime. You can't have the radio on. All right, coming up in just a second.
As a matter of fact, I got somebody recording it for me so that way I have my radio off so this doesn't happen.
You don't have to have somebody recording it for you because every show we do is posted at waltersterlingshow.com. Every show we've ever done is at waltersterlingshow.com. You click listen to show and you'll find a pristine... What am I hearing? What is that? If you click Walter Sterling Show and you click listen to show, you will find a pristine digital recording of Sterling on Sunday. Coming up in just seconds, we're going to talk more to Keith, who has six tickets for putting Christmas lights on his vehicle, on his dash car. That's in seconds. It's 46 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. I have a great idea for a holiday gift for your kid going back to college or your kid who's just starting their own apartment. You ready? Sheets. What kid doesn't love sheets? Every kid doesn't love sheets. Can't think of a worse gift to give a kid than sheets, unless the sheets are black. There's nothing cooler than black sheets. All of a sudden, your son or daughter will be cool. All of a sudden, your daughter, who's a goth, will have matching bedwear. Here's what you do. You go to 800-844-0876. A live human being will speak to you at the My Pillow Company, and you will buy My Pillow Giza Dream Sheets. These are made of 100% long staple cotton. They're made from Giza cotton, which is the finest cotton in the world, from the Giza Plateau in Egypt, blessed by pharaohs. Call 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876. A live human is there right now looking forward to talking to you. You won't get a machine. You won't get a voicemail tree. Talk to them. You won't believe these sheets. They come in an RV queen. An RV queen and a California king, whatever size you can imagine, that's what you'll get. The My Pillow Giza Dream Sheet Set. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Say my name, Walter. And the set drops to $29.98. $29.98 for a Giza Dream Sheet Set. Call 800-844-0876. The MyPillow Giza Dream Sheet Set.
grades were bad, I would like get D's and C's.
I appeared to be doing good at my school life, but if you would see me at home, it would have been a completely different story.
I mean, it was just rough focusing on school when your mother is somebody you have to take care of. It got worse and worse and worse throughout the years.
There are students who need somebody.
They can trust someone, and it could be the first person they've ever trusted in their life.
Communities and Schools is lowering America's dropout rate by helping more than 1.3 million kids every year get whatever they need to succeed in school.
If something was going on at home, we would go just stop by Miss Liberty's office and talk to her.
Communities and Schools vouched for me when everyone else had lost hope.
You can help change the picture of education right here in your community and across the nation. Visit communitiesandschools.org.
I hear people say we can't save every kid, but I think that we can.
WPHT is live and local all day long. Start your day with Gale and Company at 6 a.m., followed by the Don Stensland Show at 10, and Dom Giordano at noon. And end your day with Rich Cioli from 3 to 7 p.m. WPHT will cover the issues that matter to you most all day long. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Young people everywhere are making a difference.
Special Olympics has changed my life so dramatically.
It's helped me a lot to be fearless, you know, in the real world.
My friends I've made through Special Olympics are the best people I've ever met in my life.
I truly realize that what I'm doing is for a great cause.
And it's not about disabilities, but it's about celebrating their abilities.
I've made a difference. Now it's your turn to make a difference.
Get involved at SpecialOlympics.org.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Neil Rogers.
And the right against the left, and the left against the right, and who's got the better haircut? The same old, tried and true, tired, monotonous crap that doesn't change anything, and the median age of your audience is death.
My phone number is 888-688-WALT. You and I are talking to Keith S., who listens on KFAR in Fairbanks, Alaska. And Keith is a DoorDash driver. And he puts lights on his car every year at this time. And everybody's happy because it reminds them of the holidays or Christmas. He lives in North Pole, Alaska. That's a real town, North Pole, Alaska. That's where he lives. He celebrates the holiday by decorating his DoorDash car with holiday lights. Except this year, Keith got 6 citations for inappropriate lighting. And that's all it says. And how much are those tickets again?
With the surcharge, $70 a piece.
And when the police officer stops you, do they treat you with respect? Do they think this is sort of a joke? Are they annoyed at you? What's the tone when they stop you?
Most of the time, it's been polite, just... the last couple times, they seem a little agitated, aggravated that I'm refusing to turn them off. They say that basically I look like an emergency vehicle when I don't.
No, of course you don't. They're twinkly little silly lights. Do you have any advice for Keith? Here's our number. It's 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. And now, Keith, we have some... We want some information on the DoorDash business. In a given day, what do you usually deliver? What are the most popular items you deliver on DoorDash from Fairbanks, Alaska?
Our two busiest merchants here would be McDonald's and Taco Bell. Coming in third would probably be our local grocery store, Safeway.
I can understand the Taco Bell, but it has always been my experience that every second I drive away from a McDonald's, the food gets more and more, disappointing. And by the time it gets to my home, there's nothing worse to me than a cold McDonald's French fry.
It does, but by the time I get my orders to my customers, I've never had any complaints. Their fries are still nice and hot. I use heated bags. I got heated seats. We get to negative 50s, negative 60s here. So you learn to keep food warm or you don't last in this business. You'll get too many complaints.
Now, Keith, as a DoorDash driver, what do you expect as a tip? What is the right tip to give you?
An average tip that I'm happy with is $5. Anything more than that, I feel like the customer is going a little bit, you know, they're giving extra.
And at the holidays, I'd expect a little extra. I don't think that's an unreasonable thing.
No, during the holidays, we do a little bit better as far as revenue compared to the rest of the year.
All right. Now, Keith S. is a DoorDash driver in Fairbanks, Alaska. He's been given 6 tickets because he has holiday lights on his DoorDash car. And what he's looking for now is support. He'd like support from you and me. Keith, what is the address we should send the supportive holiday cards to? What address do they need to go to?
They can put care of Christmas Joy, and the address is 2406 Statehood, Statehood Street, North Pole, Alaska, 99705. It's also on my Facebook page. Anybody can go and follow or friend me, and it's also listed there.
What is your Facebook page?
Keith, last name Fons, F-O-N-S, Senior.
Keith, F-O-N-S. Got it. We'll go to the Facebook page. That's where we'll get the address. Way too complicated to write down here. Keith, F-O-N-S, our friendly DoorDash driver in Fairbanks, Alaska. I wish you every success with this adventure. I can't believe they're wasting their time and energy giving you multiple citations for having what Christmas lights on your DoorDash car in the North Pole. Keith, thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Sterling on Sunday, a network live radio show on Sunday night that doesn't scream at the Democrats. And you know, we don't fit in. That's why this show is here. It just doesn't fit in. One of the most bizarre program directors in radio that I ever knew said, well, you know, the problem with your show is that it doesn't fit in. I'm like, no, that's the blessing of this show. The blessing of this show is that it doesn't fit in. Now, if you're running the control board at KMOX in St. Louis, and you're having the volume problem that we found out in previous weeks, I want you to get in touch with our control board in Philadelphia at WPHT, and let's see if we can solve this problem, because we went and yelled at Westwood One, the satellite distributor, because we think we've isolated the problem to Westwood One and their bizarre service. I think we got it. All right. It's very exciting to be with you, as always. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and you know what? It's time for Motown Monday. I want a love I can't see. That's the only kind of beautiful thing to me. Don't want a love you have to tell me about. That kind of a loving I can't show to you.
Man, what was it?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter!
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Pat's Lounge makes Christmas parade history. Later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night. This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Vila Hula. Shop with a cop event gone awry. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And Becky Gaffney.
Our fuel oil bill was over $800. Grocery prices are through the roof. And there's glitter inside my underpants.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
We'll explain coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to share the story of a chance encounter with Jack Nicholson and Art Garfunkel in a Manhattan elevator. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. Hey there, thank you. For our next Florida Story, we have a repeat Florida criminal who, in this armed robbery case, is his third strike. So if he gets found guilty here, he's possibly going away for life. He has a plan, though. I don't know how he got it, where he thought of this plan, what he thought would happen. But as soon as the verdict is read and he is known to be guilty, he drinks a cup of bleach. Why? So he can go to the hospital instead of jail. And it kind of worked. And I mean, except for he got really sick and barfed all over the place.
Just found guilty of armed robbery, facing life behind bars, and he drinks something from this cup.
Spit it up.
He's been in custody for more than 3 years fighting the charges, and on verdict day sips what his family says was a bleach-type chemical from the cup. Immediately, he becomes sick. So sick, he's taken out of the courtroom on a stretcher and taken to the hospital.
Well, he did get what he wanted. He got to go to the hospital, which is preferable than going straight to prison. But here's the deal. I mean, you're going to burn your esophagus if you drink straight up bleach, you know, either dilute it or just drink like Capri Sun or like some Sprite Zero and say it was bleach. And then they take you to the hospital. Look, it only delays it. But I guess, you know, every hour outside of jail counts when the rest of your life is on the table. And look, even worse, he got the regular flavor. He didn't get the cherry flavored bleach. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
What? For our next Florida story, I'm thinking about just having a whole category of Florida stories called Just Break Up. Just Break Up. Because here's another one where a guy is dating a girl and it doesn't work out and they get in an argument. So he goes into the bar and starts arguing with her because she's talking to other guys now and starts a fight. When he starts to lose, he pulls out a gun, squeezes off 6 rounds, doesn't hit anybody. Look, I'm no Dr. Phil. I'm not a relationship expert. But I'm fairly certain in the history of human courtship going back through 10,000 years of recorded civilization, there hasn't been one lady who got back with her ex-boyfriend because he was squeezing off some rounds in a bar. It just doesn't happen. The headlock didn't help. The fighting didn't help. And on top of all that, he's a terrible shot. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
If you can identify this woman, you'll win a prize announcement when you call in.
We're so stupid.
Oh, my God.
Clickbait. I don't understand why you need to be in New York.
And then I'm tortured by this woman.
Hello.
888-688-WALT. Well, this year, I have taken charge. I have taken the decision away from my current bride. And you see, last year, we did not get our Christmas tree until 3 days before Christmas. And you know what that means? I got a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. The needles were glued on. I had to go. Now, all of the nice places, the Christmas tree farms, the churches, the garden center, all of the nice places were sold out of trees. They were all gone 3 days before Christmas. And you're thinking, Why didn't you get it earlier? And it's because I made the mistake of listening to my bride. She was worried that if you get it too soon, it'll go bad. Okay, well, the whole city had gotten it too soon, and they're all going bad, apparently. I don't see the difference in the Christmas tree sitting in my backyard versus sitting in a tree stand. What's the difference? It's 30 degrees outside there, and it's 30 degrees outside for me. This year, I'm going to an actual Christmas tree farm, like the place where Taylor Swift grew up. I'm going to an actual Christmas tree farm and picking up my tree Tuesday. I'm going to go out Tuesday. I can't do it tomorrow because, do you understand, I'm doing a three-hour radio show. I'm exhausted. I have to sleep in all day Monday. Actually, that's mostly true. I sleep in all day Monday. I tell everybody it's my day off because I prepare this show on Saturday. And I prepare it all Sunday. Because even though it doesn't sound prepared, it's really not. As a result, I can't do anything Mondays. Every year, every week, I do the stupid thing of booking time at a gym on Monday. I'm like, and I blow it off every week. Well, what was I thinking? This year, on Tuesday, the kids and I are going to a Christmas tree farm on Tuesday, having the hunky guy put it on top of our car and bringing it home to my backyard and putting it in the Christmas tree stand. And you know what'll happen during the week? It'll freeze, just like it would have there, and I'll have the Christmas tree to bring in whenever my current wife wants. That's the deal. That's what we're going to do. All right, now listen. This Chris Christie's niece, former Governor Chris Christie's niece, went insane. And I've got to share with you some facts about this story because it's just so outrageous. His niece was kicked off Spirit Airlines. She was kicked off a flight and arrested after she accused a Latino family of smuggling cocaine and allegedly injured six sheriff deputies. Now let's think about that. She was accused of attacking a Latino family. I had audio for that. Where's the audio for the Latino family? Anyway, Shannon Epstein allegedly caused a ruckus at 6 a.m. on a flight from New Orleans, Louisiana, to New Jersey on Thanksgiving Day. She asked a Latino family sitting nearby if they were smuggling cocaine. Epstein, the niece of failed 2016 Republican presidential contender, grew angry and was being disruptive on the flight. The airline workers decided to remove her from the plane, which had already left the gate. It had already left the gate. That meant they had to go back to the gate. That screwed up the pay for everybody working on that flight, by the way. Epstein allegedly refused to leave after the plane returned to the gate, and she became extremely combative. When approached by deputies. She injured six deputies while resisting arrest. Six deputies. She kicked another officer in the groin. Epstein also threatened the officers, saying her uncle is friends with former President Donald Trump and that she knows powerful people. Well, here's the deal. First of all, she was raised by this.
And let me tell you something. After you graduate from law school, you conduct yourself like that in a courtroom, your rear end's going to get thrown in jail, idiot.
In New Jersey, that behavior goes unnoticed. That's how everybody in New Jersey acts. We speak bluntly and directly, and therefore we don't waste any time.
And let me tell you something. After you graduate from law school, you conduct yourself like that in a courtroom, your rear end's going to get thrown in jail, idiot.
Thank you, Governor Christie. But his niece was thrown off Spirit Airlines, arrested because she kicked multiple police officers, and she bit one of them and kicked another one in the groin. But there's a key detail. She was flying from New Orleans to New Jersey on Thanksgiving morning at 6 a.m. In my experience, the worst hangover in the world is on Thanksgiving morning. Everybody gets drunk the night before Thanksgiving. Why? Because you got out of work at noon. You head to the bar. It's like a free pass. You got a four-day free pass to misbehave. And I can't say that's what she did, but it wouldn't be out of the question. She may well have shown up with a splitting hangover, a splitting headache. But, you know, she was arrested, but I don't think that's what it was. I think there's a much bigger issue here, and I'll share that with you in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling on KFBK in Sacramento. This is Sterling on Sunday. Why is that there? Like, why is that there? Hi, I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome to a very cold night throughout North America. I love it in the center of the Midwest that they refer to lousy weather as lake effect snow. Lake effect snow. Doesn't that sound romantic? Lake effect snow. No, it's just crummy, lousy, freezing weather that's extra cold because they're near the Great Lakes. And they call it lake effect. Chris Christie's niece is accused of biting, injuring cops during a violent plane meltdown. It happened at 6 a.m. on a flight from New Orleans to New Jersey on Thanksgiving Day. Well, that must have been some night in New Orleans. And my hunch is she had a nasty hangover, or maybe not there yet, just my opinion. And she took it out on all of this. What was her issue? Ultimately, she had to be handcuffed to a wheelchair. The brash talking Garden State Pole's niece was charged with 6 counts of battery of a police officer, 3 counts of disturbing the peace, 1 of resisting arrest by force, and 1 of remaining after forbidden in an airplane. She got it all. She got all the big federal charges. And when you go after a cop, good luck. Good luck. But I don't think that's why she got mad. We don't know why she got mad. But here's my hunch. You see, she got kicked off Spirit Airlines. Have you ever flown Spirit Airlines? The minute you get on the gangway to get into the plane, you're deep in resentment. Every step brings you closer to a resentment. And then once you're on Spirit Airways, like many of these airlines, you may find that your chair does not recline. That reclining to some of these budget airlines is a great luxury. You may find your chair doesn't recline. You will probably find there's no room under the seat in front of you. You may even find that the thing in front of you, on the chair in front of you that holds books and stuff, isn't even there. There will be no food on the Spirit Airline flight. So you're getting on this plane at 6 a.m. and you may be hungover and you're not going to get any food. You're not going to get any coffee. You might be able to buy a food box. What's in the food box? I mean, I think this is what Governor Christie's niece was anticipating. What's in that food box? You ready? Salami in a wrapper. Crackers that crumble the minute you open up the package. 1 Milano cookie. 1. And maybe you'll get coffee that every single person who's ever worked on an airline says, do not drink the coffee on an airline because it's made with the water on an airplane and you do not want to drink that water. Bottled water is the only fluid you should have, or soda. What else? You can buy a better box. You can take one home to your kids that has animal crackers in it. I think she was anticipating sitting in a middle seat, going home on Thanksgiving, having no actual food, no entertainment. Let me share with you how it used to be. How it used to be, because I romanticize about the past of airlines often. And I'd like to know your travel experiences this past weekend. Your travel experiences over Thanksgiving. How did it go? Here's how it used to be. You'd get on an airplane, you'd have your carry-on bags, and you're not going to believe this. The flight attendant would take them from you. What seat are you in? Oh, 20B. I'll put it above 20B. And they would take it from you and put it in a bin above the seat. Do you know that? That's what they used to do. And then pretty soon, either when you got on the plane or the minute you sat down, a flight attendant would come up to you and say, now, we have these three newspapers. Which one would you like? And then pretty soon after that, they'd offer you a drink. Soda, coffee, vodka, gin, what would you like? And we're serving three different meals today. Fish, meat, vegetarian. Which one would you like? Fish, meat, vegetarian. And we have, and my favorite, on the long flights, but not that long, and we have three different desserts. We have a hot fudge sundae, a butterscotch sundae, and a strawberry sundae made with strawberry puree. That's what there used to be. Now, my hunch is that Chris Christie's niece remembered that, and it flashed on her as she got on that plane. They would hang up your coat. They would offer you snacks. They would offer you a drink. They would offer you something to read. When was the last time you saw a newspaper on any airplane? Then when you sat down, they'd give you warm nuts. They had taken mixed nuts, put them in the microwave, heated them up, and they'd give them to you, and they were delicious. It was fantastic. And if you were on a Southern flight, the dessert would include pecan pie. The best pecan pie I ever had was on a flight to Atlanta on Delta Airlines when, ready, the only place Delta went was to the south in the United States of America. The minute they broke out of that and tried to be an international carrier, everything went downhill. Went downhill as fast as could be. I believe that Shannon Epstein, Governor Christie's niece, was flashing on all of those events, was remembering all of those things, and she was looking into the abyss of a budget airline known as Spirit. And she was looking in at a middle seat. She probably thought she had an aisle seat. I thought I had an aisle seat. She was getting annoyed and annoyed. She wasn't offered a newspaper, wasn't offered coffee, wasn't offered a drink, certainly wasn't being offered breakfast. And they used to have multiple types of breakfast. Would you like cereal, granola, or would you like an omelet? And they'd offer you an omelet with ham and sausage. Oh, my gosh.
And let me tell you something. After you graduate from law school, you conduct yourself like that in the courtroom, your rear end's going to get thrown in jail, idiot.
And that is the sound of Chris Christie's Shannon Epstein niece. That is what she'd hear in her head, her great uncle explaining things to the people of New Jersey. All right, ladies and gentlemen, 29 past the hour, it's time for Motown Monday with Billy Stewart. Fun to be with you. My phone number is 888-688-9258. We are live across the country. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of South Park.
Yeah! Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah! Put it out! Boy, I think, is this a party or what?
Sterling.
How's a pretty redneck girl supposed to make a living? Or a college girl? Stripping. And Pat's Lounge has been serving the greater Pittsburgh, Kansas community for decades. This wonderful institution has given a job to perhaps a young aspiring veterinarian, a college student, or just a redneck girl who just wants to make some money. Christmas parades. Big time stuff around the country. Pittsburgh, Kansas had their Christmas parade, and Pat's Lounge was there with quite a presentation on their float. In the pickup truck pulling the float was just one pole standing up, wrapped with
traditional Christmas wrapping paper. Yo, red with Santa Claus on it. In the trailer, several of the nice ladies and one of the bouncers from the club. And children. Obviously, the strippers' children. Babysitter's not available. Grandma isn't around. So what they did is they put each child inside a box. Holiday wrap. So the kid's little face was out there and waving and yelling Merry Christmas. Pittsburgh, Kansas is the home of Pitt State University, the home of the Gorillas. Yeah, they've got a gorilla as their mascot there. Pretty impressive. Pat's Lounge, legendary. Merry Christmas! From the Champagne Room, it's Strippers on the Loose for Sterling at Night.
Gladys Knight, oh, I love her pips. Now, listen, she won a Kennedy Center honor this week. And I'm looking at the people who won Kennedy Center honors, and certainly Gladys Knight deserved a Kennedy Center honor. There was no doubt about it. Let's go through some of the other people who won Kennedy Center honors. Because it's a very, very big deal. Such a big deal that Donald Trump didn't go. Here we go. George Clooney. U2, Gladys Knight, Tanya Leon, hold on, Adam Clayton, Bono, The Edge, Larry Mullen Jr. of U2, Gladys Knight, God bless her, Julia Roberts, arrives at, she didn't win one, honoree George Clooney did, Bono did, let's see. Tens of tens. All right, those are the biggies, I guess, right? Oh, and the singer Hoosier. Hoosier is the best. He's the greatest singer of our time. He gets no attention. And honoree Gladys Knight stuns in a red floor-length gown as she attends the 45th Kennedy Center Honors. She deserves it. Honoree Tanya Leon deserves it. Eddie Vedder and Jill Vedder attend. Honoree Amy Grant and Vince Gill attend. Honoree The Edge. Who the hell is The Edge? I'm sorry, but who is The Edge? Yeah, I think we got all the honorees. All right. Well, let me talk about this. There are certain things you're not allowed to say in our culture. Certain things you're not allowed to say. You're not allowed to say that you voted for Donald Trump. You will lose every friend you've ever had. Guaranteed. You're not allowed to say that you don't like street fairs. You're supposed to love street fairs in all of their forms, in every city. You're supposed to say that. You're supposed to say that you love public television. Oh, public television's the best. When, in fact, public television is painful. It's just so painful. And this program has been made possible by the generosity of the O'Hara family of Northridge and by Big Joe's Auto Parts, where we're able to get our car fixed at a deep discount, and by Home Depot, which makes this old house a glimmer in the eye of poor people. Well, you're not allowed to say that you don't get Bono, and you too. I'm sorry. I'm in the hit business. When I bring up subjects here, I try to find ones that you're going to relate to, like the Love truck stops across the country. You and I talk about the Love truck stops for hours. What do you eat at the cafeteria? Nothing. What are your favorite snacks? The peanut butter and jelly cookies. Your favorite sodas. The energy drinks. We could talk about those things for hours because those are important. Public television rarely has anything important except when they're presenting a T.J. Lubinsky concert. When he has on his doo-wop concert, disco concert, folk singing concert, whenever a T.J. Lubinsky has a My Music concert, they're spectacular. They raise the most money. of anything on public television. But then when they go back to the British dramas, oh, my God, I'm in so much pain. And the thing about the British dramas, they tend to take place at a seaside town that's been there 1,800 years. And there are murders that have to be solved by a strange detective or a priest. For some reason, on British television, the priests are highly qualified police officers who ride bicycles. And these 800-occupant seaside towns seem to be the highest crime areas in America, except for the NFL. It's unbelievable the crimes that take place in these seaside towns. Remarkable. That's what they've got on public television. They have T.J. Lubinsky's concerts. That's good. Those are incredible. He's been doing those for over 20 years. Those concerts are spectacular. How he pulls that off, I will never know. But they're great. Okay, you watch that. You want to see the doo-wop show. All of those shows you want to see. But then they lapse into their errors in judgment and show obscure British concerts, obscure British this, obscure... Hey, listen. Public television executives, let me give you a clue as one of the most successful executives in the history of radio in America. Let me give you a clue. Just because it has a British accent does not make it engaging or interesting at all. Now, you're not supposed to say that. Then I see Bono is it an honoree at the Kennedy Center Honors? And I'm like, really? Haven't we really heard enough from Bono? I think we have. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's great to be with you on a Sunday night. Gladys Knight won a Kennedy Center Honor, and she deserves it. This is Motown Monday on Sterling on Sunday. I want you to think about a quality set of sheets. When you go to a good store and you look for a good set of sheets, what do those usually cost? Think about that. Well, I'm going to send you to a store that has the best sheets possible. The MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets, made of Giza cotton from the Giza Plateau in Egypt. That's what they make the finest dress shirts out of. If you say my name, Walter, my Christmas gift to you, those sheets cost $29.98. That's right, a set of sheets cost $29.98, made out of the finest cotton from the Giza Plateau. 100% long staple cotton with a 10-year warranty and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Oh my gosh, call this number. Do it now. 800-844-0876. There's a live human being very anxious to talk to you. And when you talk to them, start the conversation by saying like this. Go. I listen to Walter. And when you say the name Walter, the price drops to $29.98 for a set of premium Giza sheets in every color you can imagine, from red to gray to sea foam to green to cream to white. Whatever color you imagine, that's what's there. Plus, every size, from RV Queen to California King to a twin set for the dormitory. 800-844-0876 is the number. 800-844-0876. Say my name, Walter, and the price for my pillow Giza Dream Sheets drops to $29.98. 800-844-0876 is the number. 800-844-0876. Say my name, Walter, and the price for my pillow Giza Dream Sheets drops to $29.98.
You don't need to get personal, like revealing you eat eggs with a shell on, to get the State Farm Personal Price Plan. Just call or go to statefarm.com for a quote. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices vary by state. Options selected by customer. Availability and eligibility may vary. For breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Hatfield Pork brings flavor to the table the whole family will enjoy and keep you moving through the day. With over 24 distinct flavors that can be ready in minutes, it's food you can feel good about serving. Explore endless meal possibilities with Hatfield's variety of marinated pork, ground sausage, ham, and bacon. Find your flavor with Hatfield. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes and to find a retailer near you.
Let me guess. Unknown caller? You could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection. The latest innovation from Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And we'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
Hi, I'm Judith Light. So there you are. It's flu season, and you're over 65 like me. You're having another busy year. So much to do, so many roles in life to play. But you feel like you might be forgetting something serious. Your annual flu shot. And before you know it, it's too late. It's not just the aches, fever, and chills that last for days and days. The flu can be life-threatening, especially if you have chronic conditions like diabetes and heart disease, which can worsen with the flu. Being active and healthy alone won't protect you. The immune system weakens with age, making you more susceptible to the flu. If you're over 65, ask about your vaccine options, including one made specifically for us. An annual flu shot is the best way to help keep the flu away. Visit the National Council on Aging at ncoa.org/flu to learn more and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about vaccine options for people 65 and older. Again, that's ncoa.org/flu.
Sterling on Sunday doesn't fit in.
Ah, the holidays.
No, that's not what I wanted. I always have trouble here. That's where it gets screwed up. This is what you want to hear. Ready? It's Motown Monday on Sterling on Sunday.
Oh, good loving. The girls got plenty of loving, yeah. Ask me how I know, and I'll tell you so. She used to be my girl. I respect her. When she was mine, I used to neglect her.
Huh. When they first posted this on YouTube, it had a different track. He was lip syncing to a different track. When I first started playing this on the air, it was different than this one.
She had a charm, personality. The girl was so right for me. She's my girl. If I had a chance,
you know, I could kill a lot of time doing this. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. It's Motown Monday on Sterling on Sunday, and I look forward to talking to you because I am live at 50 minutes past the hour, driving across the country from one love stop to another love stop. That's the problem. That's what Governor Christie's niece had the problem with. She was getting on a Spirit airline, and she realized she was looking into the abyss of hell. She was going to fly from New Orleans, maybe with a hangover, to New Jersey on Thanksgiving morning. Who goes from New Orleans to New Jersey on Thanksgiving morning on Spirit Airlines? Whoa. Then she gets on. I bet this is what happened, because she had a tantrum. She had a meltdown. She kicked police officers in the groin. She bit them. She would not leave the plane. They had to arrest her, handcuff her to a wheelchair, and get her off that plane. They had to take the plane back to the gate. It's a very big deal in airline land to take an airplane back to the gate, because it means that the people on the plane, the flight attendants, the captain, it screws up their pay. It just they have to leave on time. If they don't leave on time, they lose money. You think it's inconvenient to you? Guess what? It's far more inconvenient to the crew. They want to get out of there. Now, Governor Christie's niece is causing all sorts of trouble, all sorts of havoc. A good SAT word, havoc. And they don't want any trouble, and they certainly don't want any trouble with Governor Christie's niece.
And let me tell you something. After you graduate from law school, you conduct yourself like that in a courtroom, your rear end's going to get thrown in jail, idiot.
But I think she was looking into the abyss of a full plane, having to sit in a middle seat, being told, no, I'm sorry, there's no coffee. Well, do you have anything for breakfast? No, no, it's Spirit Airlines. We don't have anything for breakfast. Do you have anything for me to read? No, we have nothing for you to read. Is there anything at all? Well, you can buy this box for $8.50 that has cheese and crackers in it and a Milano cookie. A Milano cookie? And by the way, Pepperidge Farm, you used to have Lido cookies. What happened to the Lido cookies, L-I-D-O? Where did they go? Anyways, Governor Christie's niece was arrested, taken off the plane, and is in big trouble because she kicked and bit police officers. I don't care what the condition you're in. You don't kick and bite a police officer, and you don't say, my uncle knows the president of the United States, and I know a lot of powerful people. That's not going to help. That never helps. But I think that's what it was. She was looking into the abyss known as Spirit Airlines. Could have been Frontier Airlines. Any discount airline would have caused misery on Thanksgiving morning, especially flying from New Orleans to New Jersey. Two news don't make it right. Imagine the hell that she was going through. Then, the rest of the world looks down upon a tradition in New Jersey that is appalling. You want to sit on Santa's knee? New Jersey Mall says that comes with a fee. Children wanting to sit on Santa's knee at a South Jersey mall will have to pay. The Philadelphia Inquirer reports admission to the Cherry Hill Mall's Adventure to Santa costs $35 to $50. The packages come with photos and video of the visit. The move has sparked anger with many parents. But this is true without the country, throughout the country. This was just on a foreign newspaper, found out about it in Jersey at the Cherry Hill Mall. This is true throughout New Jersey. The way we used to visit Grandpa, the way we used to visit Santa was very simple. You'd stand in a very long line. You hope you got the real Santa because, you know, there were imposters. There were Santa helpers. But there was a real Santa. In my case, it was usually Lord and Taylor's. There was a real Santa. Great beard, great costume, smelled terrific. He smelled like a real Santa. You'd sit there, you'd tell him what you wanted. He never promised you'd get it, but he'd listen attentively. And then your mother over there and your aunt and her sister, three people would photograph this event, take pictures of you on Santa's lap. Well, you can't do that anymore. They have videographers, professional photographers, and you will pay $5, $10, $20, $25, $30 for that photo package. You can come back later and pick it up. Why do I have to come back later? Because if we get rid of you from here, you're going to go to the stores in the mall, buy stuff, and then come back. I know it's morally bankrupt to charge for kids to see Santa. It is morally bankrupt to charge parents to take pictures of Santa by professionals, quote, professionals who happen to be photo majors at the local community college. It's outrageous. It's not okay. There should be no charge to visit Santa, because Santa's visit involves enough charges, doesn't it? What's interesting is that the world newspapers in many countries have picked up on this unusual practice among Americans of charging kids to see Santa. Not okay. Not good. And if you're going to charge us to see Santa, then could I please get more than a Polaroid of my kid? How about like a beautiful gift frame? How about Santa comes home and helps me shovel? My number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. It is a beautiful, wicked cold night through North America. But I get to be with you, and this is the best medium. This is the best medium because I am 1 foot away from this microphone, and you're 1 foot away from that speaker, and you're in a warm, cozy cab of a truck or a nice car or a good enough car that isn't making strange noises, and the service engine light has finally gone out, and I'm sitting here with B-grade equipment, but a great microphone, and that's really all we need to communicate. The smartest advertisers in the world advertise on the radio late at night. Here, Mr. Ad Agency, let me give you a clue. Every hour of the day that goes by, later and later and later, you will sell more product on the radio. Because as the day goes on, people who listen to the radio later in the day are more likely to be alone and therefore paying attention to your message, on Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Pat's Lounge makes Christmas parade history. Later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And Becky Gaffney.
Our fuel oil bill was over $800. Grocery prices are through the roof. And there's glitter inside my underpants.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
We'll explain coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to share the story of a chance encounter with Jack Nicholson and Art Garfunkel in a Manhattan elevator. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Shop with a cop. Opportunity for underprivileged children to go out and get a great Christmas gift with some of our local police officers. Many of these children are the ones that get arrested later on in life, so building a name recognition with the officer is pretty good as early as possible, and occasionally it keeps youngins from doing the crime as they grow up. Not so lucky for a man only identified as Brad. Yeah, Brad, just one name, like Cher, Shakira, Brad, Pink, Brad. According to St. Cloud, Florida police, he decided that a great time to steal from the Walmart was in the middle of the Shop with a Cop event. Yeah, he was running out of the store with some DVDs and some all sorts of different things, including a package of Pop-Tarts. And ironically enough, got caught by one of the cops on duty. Brad said this, it was a bad idea. Truer words ever said? Probably, but this is pretty close. For the people of Walmart, this is Vila Hool for Sterling at Night.
888-688-9258, 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. This is a live radio show, coast to coast, KFBK, KDKA. Timothy, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
My whole theory on the airplane freakout thing is because when you look into the abyss looks into you.
You know, how is it possible that you are this deep? How can you be this deep? Were you a philosophy major at the community college?
No, it's just the opposite.
Now, who is this?
We're so stupid.
Oh, my God. Clickbait. I don't understand why you need to be in New York.
It's, you think it's your ex-girlfriend. Did she sound like that? Really?
Yeah, she was going to the abyss.
Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate you calling Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-9258. Linda, one of the famous callers out of Philadelphia, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Walt. But I'm one of the ones from Albany. There are a lot of Albany, New York. There are a lot of us Lindas.
Listen, Linda, stop a second. I apologize. The odds were that you were from Philly. But now that I know you're from Albany and you listen to Paul's radio station in Albany, that is one of my favorite affiliates. He is a great man. He's the morning drive anchor. He also owns the station. Did you know he owns the station? And he rushed me at a convention, at Michael Harrison's Talkers Convention. He rushed me at a convention 3 years ago, and he said, "You never have to worry about losing our affiliation. We love your show. We think it's great." And, you know, he looks like a college professor. He looks like the opposite type of person who would like my show. So I am insanely grateful to him. I apologize, Linda. Please go ahead with what you wanted to say.
Well, you know what? Now that you're saying that, you really don't need to apologize, because I did go to college at a college outside Philadelphia. So, but what I was called about with Keith, that maybe he can get a legal equipped small flat wagon and put a artificial Christmas tree on it and put some of the lights, not all, but just some of the lights from his vehicle on that, which may help justify keeping the police off his back.
What Linda's talking about is we had a DoorDash driver who lives in Fairbanks, Alaska, actually lives in the North Pole, Alaska, which is an actual place. It's an actual city in Alaska. And they listen on WFAR, or is it KFAR? But it's FAR. And this poor guy is a DoorDash driver. If that isn't hard enough, he's been given 6 citations for putting Christmas lights on his vehicle. Now, I haven't seen these lights, but he's done it every year, never got a ticket before, and now he got it. And you're saying if he put a flatbed on the back of the vehicle with a Christmas tree, he shouldn't have any trouble. Is that what you're saying, Linda?
Hopefully.
Now, Linda.
It would help.
Yeah, now, Linda, I went to college in Syracuse, and that means you and I know 2 things. We know that the words lake effect are to be dreaded. They're not romantic. And we know that we know what actual pizza tastes like, because only in upstate New York, only in upstate New York, Philadelphia, Jersey, and parts of Brooklyn, are you ever going to taste real pizza. Is that right, Linda?
Yes.
In the rest of America, believe it or not, it tastes like frozen pizza, no matter how fresh they think it is. Linda, I appreciate the call. I really do. Thank you. I hope you have a great Christmas. Thanks very much for calling Sterling on Sunday. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to the man who has the job that we want. He is the chef on one of those fancy yachts like you see on Below Deck. Those yachts on Below Deck are insane, but please notice the social whirl on all of those, boats, on all of those yachts centers around the chef. And Chef Drew will be with you and me coming up in just seconds. This is the Midnight Misfit part of Sterling on Sunday. Welcome to our live radio show. It's called Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mr. Wizard.
And because a lot of ammonia will dissolve in just a little bit of water, we can make a famous ammonia fountain.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here with Tales from Our House. The last delivery of heating oil. This keeps me up at night.
I know. It should.
Over $800.
Right. And it's not going to last very long because it's freezing in our old house.
And the grocery bill is outrageous. Do you know what we're paying just in toilet paper?
I don't want to know, because yesterday you came home with statistics about how much we should be using and how much we use. And, you know, the two square rules started being thrown about. So we're not going to discuss the toilet paper.
I'm trying to conserve.
Trying to feed the kids.
Look, these are the things that keep me up at night.
And it's the time of year when sewing is keeping me up at night.
Our daughter is a professional ballet dancer, and my wife has been sewing Nutcracker and ballet costumes for years, including making them by hand. Now, they look beautiful, dear.
Thank you.
But and they're really great. But
but
the
here
sewing
comes the
makes its way out of the sewing area.
It can't help it. I don't have enough room in that tiny little room.
Into the whole house. So sequins, glitter, thread.
I actually just picked about 6 threads off of my sweater right now. I walk through the store right now and people pick threads off of me. I just can't control the outburst of the stuff.
It explodes in the house.
Yeah.
And I literally found glitter in my underwear. How did that even happen?
I kind of am questioning why you had your underpants off in the sewing room.
I didn't. That's the thing.
I have no idea, honey. I can't help you there.
But I'm used to it by now. I mean, it's been this way for years.
And I will tell you that the heating bill, it's partially my fault, because when I'm in the sewing room, I have to turn the heat up. And when I'm sewing, I don't have time for other food. And we're like shoving snacks at the kids. It's just this time of year is insane with busyness, craziness, and spending lots of money.
But a handmade, professional quality ballet tutu, priceless.
All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. There is Chef Drew in Florida, who is the chef on the big yachts off the coast of Miami. He is the luckiest man I ever knew. Now, Chef Drew has a resentment. 2 weeks ago, the Gaffneys did this show because I had to go to a funeral. There was no way out of the funeral. Chef Drew didn't get on the air that week. Have you forgiven me yet?
We absolutely. I enjoyed listening to those folks. They were very funny.
It was my fault. In all the hubbub of having to go to a funeral and driving 9,000 hours, I forgot to tell them. And then the normal control board operator, the normal producer, Sean, wasn't here. Therefore, you were looking into the abyss. Into the abyss. That's my new word.
It's okay.
Now,
it's
Chef,
okay. It's okay.
Chef Drew, have you seen the Christmas boat parade in the inland waterways in South Florida?
Yes, I have. And I've been in it a few times myself.
Why don't you describe for a minute what that is? Because it is, to this day, the most beautiful thing I have ever seen.
It's basically a flotilla of folks with a lot of time on their hands, and we go out there and we decorate our boats as best we can and kind of compete with each other to see who can go over the top, you know, as it were. And I mean, it's a lot of fun. Lots of people out there on the waterway, lots of folks come out, you know, just in the Christmas spirit in itself, and just to be around the lights. And all that stuff, it's always a fun thing to do. I love it.
About how many boats do you think participate in this?
Wow. On a good year, I mean, you could have 100 boats easily floating through, quite easily.
And Chef Drew, what impressed me was that you're watching these incredible Christmas decorations float by through the inland waterway. They constantly move. They're constantly moving. But then you look up a second and go, wait a minute, it's December and it's 80 degrees. I'm
right.
Watching this incredible beauty and it's 80 freaking degrees on the inland waterway through South Florida. The miracle of the inland waterway. Now tell me about your adventures this week, Chef Drew.
I tell you, I just got off of one. It's 73 degrees down here tonight, by the way. I got off one of those interesting trips today. We picked up some folks from a beautiful place called Fisher Island, and the gentleman, I believe he worked there, but it was only 3 people, and you spend all that kind of money. It's unusual to have just 3 people on board. All the same, we get on the boat, and we always greet our guests, and we're all in the back there, and this very slim, very beautiful lady with a very small, fluffy dog with her high heels on the seat, steps right on board, and she says in a very Russian accent, "Who is the chef?" And I looked at her, and I stepped to attention. I said, "I am, ma'am." And I tell you, I've never been snubbed before, I don't think. And she looked at me as if to say she had not a clue what I was. And she just kind of pranced on her way. The rest of the crew saw that, and yeah, we all took notice to it. But, you know, we have to smile and carry about our business. However, I must say that I had a little bit of vengeance in my heart. And my mother always says, you know, kill them with kindness. So today, what I did was to make the most excellent meal for just two people, by the way. As usual, I make my table visit. I go out there, and it was the most unique mashup I've ever seen. We have one gentleman that's very, very, very clean cut, speaking Russian, very clean cut, and another gentleman with tattoos all over the place and his arm around his plate having his food. You know, quite naturally, I had to kind of interrupt, and I said, "Gentlemen, how is your food?" And the Russian fellow with his arm around the food, he looks up at me and he says, "Yeah, it's real good." He was super happy about his meal. So I took that as a compliment. I went back into the kitchen. At the end of the cruise, the wife was very happy because her husband was very happy. And of course, she, you know, came and expressed how happy he was. And she says, "Chef, you did a very good job today." And I couldn't help myself. I might have been a little mean, and I said, "Yes, of course I did."
Well, when you said she couldn't tell what you were, you don't mean that you're the chef. What do you mean?
Well, I tell you, I am not your typical-looking chef. I am a lot smaller than your average chef. I don't really sound like my voice I hear. So after our phone conversations that we had, I think she just expected another face, maybe. Yeah, I think that's we'll leave it at that, yes. But at the end of the day, I had her eating out of the palm of my hands, no pun intended.
What was the dish that you made for them? What was your favorite dish that you made for them?
Well, seafood. We did a whole bunch of seafood dishes, but when I did this table visit, I made sure I went while the lobster was being served. And that gentleman was having a great time with it. And one thing that I do know is that when you see folks eating with their arm around their plate, it's a good sign of two things. They grew up in a family with lots of children, or they spent some time in the huskow.
In his case, it was probably both.
Probably, sir. Probably. But he enjoyed his meal.
All right. Now, listen, Chef Drew, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
You can reach me on Facebook. Just find me at Chef Drew Kanai, K-H-A-N-I, on Facebook. Send me a message. Check out my photos. And we'll chit-chat.
I hope you have a great holiday. We'll talk to you again next week. Chef Drew, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. My phone number is 888-688-9258. Did you hear about this insane story about these two reporter anchor people on Good Morning America, the fourth hour, the fourth edition, which, by the way, I've come to learn they tape. This is this Robach person and AJ somebody. Well, it turns out they're both married. One of them, she's married to Andrew Hsu, who used to be on Melrose Place and went to Columbia High School, the same high school I went to. And he is the sister. He's the brother of that shoe woman who we all were in love with. Listen to this.
They sat beside each other today. Once again, no specific mention of the headline making news, but they sure seemed to allude to it.
You know, it's too bad it's Friday.
Is it?
It's been a great week. I want this one to keep going and going and going. Just enjoy it.
Speak for yourself.
Take it all.
ABC News executives have reportedly decided the pair won't be disciplined. A source was quoted as saying Amy and TJ did nothing to warrant punishment. They are two consenting adults on equal levels in the company and have a right to date who they want.
Amy Robach on Good Morning America and this guy she's on the air with, they started dating probably quite a while ago and started making it public, but they're both married. And then colleagues of there are complaining about, how can you say this is a family company with family values, it's owned by Disney, and this is an outrage? Well, no, I'll tell you what those colleagues are complaining about. They're complaining about the fact that they're jealous. It's as simple as that. They're complaining about the fact that they're jealous. Crazy time. I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of this show is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Mr. Beast.
I just bought this house and I'm going to give it to Chandler.
Really?
No!
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Hey, so this is a wild Florida update. It comes from Fort Lauderdale, and there was a guy who randomly killed a Florida couple in their garage. Now, this happened like 6 years ago, and you remember this story because this was one of those face-chewing stories. Remember, there was like a homeless guy chewing another dude's face? This is another bath salt face chewer. Now, the thing got wildly delayed 6 years ago. Part of it was, this is just how long murder trials take, and this is also getting delayed by COVID, so we finally got around to it. I just want to wrap this up, because 6 years ago, we thought this was a bath salt thing, but what we have here is a now 25-year-old Florida man is not going to prison. He was found not guilty by reason of insanity. Of course, face chewer, you would assume either bath salts or insanity. I just want to follow up. Like, I don't know if whatever happened to bath salts, did it just go away? Now, being found not guilty by reason of insanity is incredibly rare in any state. So if you're wondering why this guy, I mean, like less than 1 out of 100 or something, the stats are ridiculous on this. But the thing that swayed the judge here is when he was arrested, he repeatedly made the claim that he was fleeing a demon when the attack happened. You don't have to worry about him getting out anytime soon, though. The face biting situation is so severe. Legal experts asked by clickorlando.com said he'll probably never get out of the mental institution because he's so dangerous, number one, and number two, is such a high profile case. So it's pretty much the same thing. I just wanted to, you know, not give bath salts of such a bad reputation. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
This concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right, Mr. Parker, thank you so much. We love Florida Stories. My phone number is 888-688-9258. This is a live radio show. That's what makes it so special. It's a live radio show. It's not the quality of the host. It's not the quality of the production. It's the fact that it's a live radio show. And Tony is at 888-688-9258. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Walter. How are you?
Hey, buddy. What's going on? You have anything to report?
Well, I have an old report about Syracuse. You had mentioned you went to Syracuse University.
I went to Syracuse University, where they think 10 feet of snow is not a reason to close the school.
Well, I was there in 1999 for the ABC bowling tournament. It's the most prolific amateur tournament in the country. And my experience with Syracuse at that time was that it was kind of a dump. Put it this way, we were away for like a 3-day weekend, and we ate at Denny's like 3 or 4 times that weekend. There wasn't much to choose from, and the strippers were possibly the worst I've seen in my lifetime. Do you have fond memories of Syracuse?
Did you go near the university?
We rode by it. I remember riding by it.
All right. When I went there, it was like market 50. It was a big test market.
Okay.
It's about market 90 now. It is overwhelmingly a slum, mostly because of what they did with that highway. When they put Route 81 through there, it became a slum. But here's the thing. When I went there, the university itself was landscaped in mud. The quad... The lawns in front of the buildings were mud because of the thaw and then the freeze. Okay. Now, my sister, Dr. Freud, my daughter is a junior there. My daughter's a junior there. She goes to Newhouse, which is a very different thing than the rest of the university. And we have visited a couple times, and the investment in time and money that they have spent landscaping that university and fixing the architectural faults and putting in the right kind of sidewalks and the right kind of shrubbery is stunning. Every new building they put up is stunning, and the university itself is beautiful. It is well maintained. They have actual lawns and not mud. It's really quite remarkable. The city down on Clinton Square, which is the epicenter of the downtown, ice skating rink, Christmas tree, also very nice. Dinosaur barbecue, very nice. When you get three blocks away from the downtown, probably you want to keep your lights on. You probably want to walk with other people. It's still a dump. And then when you go out to the, quote, suburbs, because the city itself feels like a suburb, you go out to DeWitt and Manlius, which is how they pronounce it, DeWitt and Manlius and Skinny Atlas, most of those are terrifying. But the university itself is beautiful. I mean, really beautiful. And it was not when I was there. And do you know who this is? That's what's most important.
We're so stupid.
Oh, my God.
Clickbait. I don't understand why you need to be in New York.
Tony, who do you think that is?
Well, the only name that pops into memory is Hazel, but I don't think it's Hazel. Remember Hazel?
No, I'm happy to report I know who you mean, but I don't remember Hazel, and I think demographically you've got to do better. You have to bring it into this century.
Well, my last thought on Syracuse was I didn't get lucky A in bowling or B with strippers, so it wasn't a memorable trip, but I'm glad that in a lot of ways, from what you're telling me, the city has come along.
It is a bowling kind of city. It is a bowling, vinyl tablecloth, red sauce Italian restaurant. It's that kind of city. And Tony, you're a good friend, and I thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday. My phone number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. I'm just thinking, I got one segment to go. Do I go to the mom who was forced to carry her baby on school run after Housing Association confiscated her carriage? Or do I that? Do I do that story? So much show prep has to go into this. Flirty. Oh, yeah. There's a real dichotomy, a real hypocrisy in the way men behave at work and the way women behave at work. Women don't understand, as a rule, that any time they talk to a guy, he can interpret that as flirting. Doesn't matter what she says, he can interpret that as flirting. You say, hello, good morning, would you like a cup of coffee? Whatever you say to a guy at work, he will interpret that as flirting. And then, if the man responds to that, all of a sudden he's at HR. We'll talk about that in seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Johnny Depp.
If there is a dialogue between two people, both people need to speak, but there was no way to fit a word in.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to share with you a story one of my coworkers told me. So in my detective office, there was this eccentric detective who had a highly placed friend in One Police Plaza. And that friend could move him around the department like a chess piece. Wherever this guy wanted to work in all these prestigious units, all he had to do was call up his high school buddy, and he wound up there. Well, after a while, he wound up in our office, and I got to know him a little bit. And the guy was definitely a storyteller, but he was quite funny. He said before he came on the job, he was a doorman in a posh Manhattan building. And he said, you know, he stood out front in his uniform. He hailed cabs for residents. He opened the door for them. He carried packages back and forth. But what he liked most about the building was there was a lot of famous people that lived there. And he read off a list of very affluent and famous people. It was actually quite impressive. So he tells me this story that one day he opens the door for someone. It's Jack Nicholson. He's like, oh, wow. He takes Jack Nicholson into an elevator. He brings him up to a floor and he goes back down. Short time later, someone rings for the elevator again. He goes up. It's Nicholson and Art Garfunkel. And he knew Art Garfunkel had lived in the building, but he had never met him before. So they leave and, you know, he's like, wow, what a treat. I got to see Jack Nicholson and Art Garfunkel. He says about 3 hours later, he says the two of them come back to the building. He goes, you could tell they had a couple of cocktails and they ask him to bring him up in the elevator. So he gets in the elevator with Art Garfunkel and Jack Nicholson and they're talking. And he goes, I don't know whether to like look at them or stare down at the ground. He goes, it was just so odd for me to be, you know, with these two Hollywood elites. So he says Garfunkel starts complaining to Jack Nicholson. At the time, he was trying to break into the acting business and he wasn't having much success. And he's like, Jack, Hollywood's not taking me seriously. You know, I just can't break through. And he said, Nicholson's just kind of looking down at the floor, ignoring him. He says, finally, Nicholson, I guess, got tired of Garfunkel complaining. He turned to him and said, Artie, what are you worried about? You're a rock and roller. You made it, buddy. He says, and as Nicholson's making a joke of it, he's playing the air guitar in the elevator. My friend said, I didn't know whether to laugh or keep a straight face. So he takes them up to their floor. He comes back down. It's about 20 minutes later, someone rings for the elevator bell. He goes back up. It's Nicholson. He brings Nicholson back downstairs and he says, Mr. Nicholson, he goes, I'm a huge fan. My girlfriend's a huge fan. Would you be able to sign an autograph for me? And Nicholson said, sure. What's the gal's name? So he says, oh, her name is Maura. And he goes, sure, Maura, two Maura from Jack. Here you go, buddy. And when my friend gave the autograph to his girlfriend, she called him an idiot because she thought he made this whole thing up. So it just goes to show you, you never know who you're going to run into in New York City. So be sure to check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
Cops, Crime, and Chaos. What a good holiday gift that would be. What a great contributor to Sterling on Sunday he is. I appreciate every single thing he does. But here's the fact. If a man at work receives a compliment from a woman at work, the way a man's main brain works, he thinks that she's flirting with him. And he will then act that way. He will then overinterpret everything she says to him from that point on. That's how it works. Whereas if a guy says anything to a woman at work, she's immediately offended, thinks it's inappropriate, and drags him to HR. Never has a man dragged a woman at work to HR. Never. Because we just don't think that way. She talked to me. That's huge. That's a big step. That's fantastic. Then you find yourself in a social situation with that woman at a bar, at a holiday party, and you start talking to her, and there's alcohol involved, and all of a sudden, this guy is very excited to be with her, and she's very anxious to get away from him, and the next day, she drags him in front of HR. What I have told my daughters is that if any guy is inappropriate with you in any situation, you can kick him in the nuts and go to the police, but you don't drag him to HR because that will make everything worse. That wacky training about how to behave at work and the films they show you, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. Now, let me share with you a couple of things about the holiday parties. You know, at one time in my life, I was a very big deal executive. Fortunately, I'm done with that. I have no interest in being a big deal executive. One of the things that happened when they started to put my show on radio stations across the country, program directors and general managers were afraid that I might actually want to consult those stations. No, I have no interest in consulting your station. I am done. I did it for a long time under ideal circumstances. I was expensed to stay at Ritz-Carlton's. I couldn't have had a better deal. I'm all done with that now. Now I get to do something much better, I get to use the radio to communicate with you, the Midnight Misfit, with you, Rosemary Furlong. Hello, Rosemary. Rebecca Canner. Billy Datz. What's the deal with you, Billy? I never hear from you. And Neil Paul, Judy Anderson, welcome, my Midnight Misfits. Welcome, my Midnight Misfits. This is our time of day. This is for us. About the Christmas parties, you have two choices. One, don't go. Because if it's 100 people at the Christmas party, nobody's going to notice if you're there or not. Or do what I used to do. Go to the Christmas party about a half hour after it started. Look for the host. Look for the host. Go up to the host. Say to her, this is a spectacular party. Thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it. The shrimp is incredible. Select the most expensive food item on the buffet or the menu. Compliment the host on having that food item. Everybody looks great. I'm really happy to be here. And then, very quietly, about 4 minutes later, before you've had anything to drink, you leave. Because after 45 minutes of the holiday party, things will go downhill. And you might get caught in the crossfire of things going downhill. And I promise you, after everybody at that party has had one drink, nobody's going to remember if you're there or not. They won't remember. Therefore, get out. Just leave. There's no upside for you in being at the holiday party. I promise you, it won't go on your permanent record. It won't be. But think about this. Anytime you've been at a holiday party with your coworkers or colleagues, you remember to this second, till I say what I'm about to say, you remember what I'm about to say, which is you remember the person who got too drunk. Boom. See, it popped right in your head. You remember the person who got too drunk. And you don't know what it was. Maybe they took an antihistamine. Maybe they didn't eat anything. Maybe they're not a drunk at all. Maybe it was a fluke. Antihistamine, no food in their stomach. A lot of things could have made that happen, but it doesn't matter because all you remember is that they got too drunk. And you want no part of that. You don't even want that to maybe happen. The other thing I will share with you to remember about holiday parties, it never burns off. The chefs will always say, oh, yes, well, there's a little alcohol in this, but it burns off. According to the Mayo Clinic, it takes 9 hours for 90% of the alcohol to burn off. It's the holidays. The greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.